This is episode 203 of the IT in the D Show. It's the 4th of July celebration. We're hanging out here in Podcast Detroit. A couple of great guests in the studio. Jennifer Crawford's in the house from Ask Jennifer. She's talking about all things Detroit and a new marketplace she is launching. And once in a while, we're joined by Dr. Hook Jeremiah from Daily Detroit. We're also going to be talking about all things Detroit, but not Jennifer's company. Dave, you may fire when ready.
For listening to the Podcast Detroit Network, visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to
the show. This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump and Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead, a lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show. Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not so much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
On the eve of Brexit 1776, we sit here to record the IT and the D Show. This is episode 203, hanging out in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, hanging out with Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is back from Cisco Live and survived to tell the tale. Find us
online. He is back from Cisco Live.
Live here.
Live-ish.
Right. Yeah. You're looking a lot better than you did after the, I'm told.
The regional Burning Man. Yes. Yeah. And my voice is back, too.
It's yes.
I'm clear. It's so good.
Find us online, itinthed.com. Subscribe to us on social and follow us everywhere fine podcasts are sold. I did that backwards on purpose to make Dave laugh. Check your go to the meat tab on our site. That's M-E-E-T.
Not meat sticks.
Nope. We got a couple meetups in July. The 11th will be in Ann Arbor. The 20th, we're going to be
Nancy Whiskey.
Nancy Whiskey's for good old-fashioned IT and the D networking.
So, hey, before we get rolling, this year marks the 10th anniversary of the Men's Warehouse National Suit Drive. Donate your gently used professional attire at any Men's Warehouse store from July 1st through the 31st and give a man a chance to transform his life. But if you don't have a suit to give, don't worry. They are collecting all kinds of professional items, including sport coats, slacks, dress shirts, sportswear, outerwear, dress shoes, ties, and other accessories as well. Then all of the donated items will be given directly to nonprofit organizations that distribute them throughout the community. Their goal is to receive 275,000 donations, so be sure to spread the word by using the hashtag. It's hashtag give a suit. Visit www.menswear, that's W-E-A-R, house.com/national-suit-drive for more information. We'll put that in the recap. That's Men's Warehouse, that's W-E-A-R, house.com/national-suit-drive. Remember the dashes. Those who donate will receive a thank you coupon for 50% off a regular price retail item, or text NSD to 66960 to receive $10 off your purchase of $50 or more. The Men's Warehouse National Suit Drive. Give a suit. Change a life.
They're going to look good in a suit you can't fit in anymore. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to use those anymore. He's not there anymore.
I just said it, so I'm redoing it.
You're bringing it. I'm bringing it back. I'm taking it.
Because I have a lot of suits that I can't fit anymore. Fat guy in a little coat, and someone else is going to look really dapper in my stuff. I guarantee it.
Dapper, dashing, roguish,
exactly. Dash, dapper, dash, exactly.
Dash, dash, dapper, dash, handsome, dash, dash, roguish.
Hashtag.
So, hey, one last thing. We did have our podcaster meetup Thursday, and that actually went phenomenally well. I had a great time.
We did. And it was cool that it wasn't just Podcast Detroit. It was
less than half the crowd was our network.
It was a smorgasbord of, it was, even though 200 people RSVP'd and Dave went crazy.
45 said yes. There were 145 that said interested, and those were the ones that worried me.
Is that the fancy way to say no these days on Facebook? Because you have to click a button still.
Where it's like, I like you, but no.
No, but if you click interest, you at least get to see like updates from the event and things like that, right? So you're kind of like opting in to know about it.
Right.
And I find that like is it about a third of people who say they're interested actually come to my events at least, like when I throw a party or something. So that's kind of how I plan it.
Usually it was maybe. That way you don't have to say no because no, you're a jerk. You know,
then there's you who just says yes to every invite that comes your way.
I do. I don't care.
But it was cool. We had a great time. We had a lot of folks show up. We had the guy that's running the National Podcast Power Conference drove up from Ohio.
That guy's awesome.
To hang out with us. And
what a cool guy.
Dude, he's a very cool dude. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Hopefully he's not listening to this right now because I don't want to hear, that. I would like
and
him.
Then screw him. don't get a big head.
Right.
But no, so we'll be down there September 23rd. We're speaking at it. God help everyone. And I believe we successfully made our bid to be responsible for the after party.
When you say it's a – where is it? Oh, it's in a suburb of Toledo. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I don't even know what that means.
Well, I'll just say that you guys have a trophy for an after party in a suburb of Detroit.
True.
So Toledo, you guys got handled. You guys got Toledo so handled. So
they will. That suburb of Toledo will not know what hit them. When
Toledo's like the eighth like city in Ohio. There's like at least Detroit. I'm just throwing that out there.
But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And it's an event. It's an event off the IT and the D Facebook page. Click, check it out, buy tickets, come see us, come hang. You know there's going to be booze.
So Neri, you got to go to Vegas for Cisco Live.
I did. We'll start with the negatives. It was 112 degrees with 5% humidity. So there were articles.
So it's a dry heat. So it's an oven.
Well, isn't it all in one hotel anyway?
Actually, no. So this year it was so big that they had the convention center at. The Mandalay Bay.
Okay.
And then across the way, they had the MGM. So some sessions were in the Mandalay Bay. Others were in the MGM. And then
they used the big stadium for like the big – yeah.
It was amazing. So opening address. So not John Chambers, but his boring cousin gets up there.
Right.
Oh, God, this guy is so dry too. And so he's like telling us about the new stuff that Cisco is doing with their network. And it's like, let's watch this video. So the lights come down and this really deep voice is saying a bunch of things that make no sense at all. Like – analyze. The network is very important. blah, 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 blah. So 2 freaking minutes of this
data,
shit goes on.
Synergy.
Yes.
Paradigm.
For 2 freaking minutes. And they say not a damn word about anything.
And this is a crowd full of techies. This isn't a sales puke conference like the ones I went to.
No. And so people are just looking at each other. I look over at my architect who's sitting next to me. I'm like, what the F did they just say about anything? Do you know what this thing does? Right. And no, no one knows what this thing does. And so we were just sitting
there. Buy in July. Because that's when we discount the most.
So end of quarter, hit those numbers.
So we were sitting there being bored. And then all of a sudden they're like, and to talk more about how Cisco is the most innovative company in the world, Tim Cook. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Is this a joke? Is this a joke? I'm like, shit, it's Tim Cook, it's Tim Cook. So out walks Tim Cook. And he sits down with the CEO of Cisco. And they start talking about like how they're working together to be so much more. We're rewriting iOS from the ground up, like saying all those kind of Tim Cook Apple-y words at Cisco. And I'm like, oh, Cisco, you just jumped the shark, baby.
Well, they made an announcement 2 years ago because I remember Cook coming out to the GSX conference, global sales kickoff.
Yeah.
2 years ago. That's when we all got our Apple watches and we're all Android users. And like, yeah, that'll come in handy. But like they were talking about, you know, I get it. Apple wants to get in the enterprise and I get it. You know, Cisco needs to like, you know, sexy up their stuff
just a little bit,
But I mean, I don't think they're not the same thing.
Well, is that a real thing? Like Apple thinking about the enterprise?
Yes.
Is that like
they're dying to get in the enterprise.
But the
margin no steps for it anywhere in their entire existence, basically.
Right, but like just from previous experience, I found that you know a lot of business decision makers aren't necessarily that interested in like $1,000 laptops. They like want to like send stuff out that costs like $400, and then if it dies in a year, whatever.
But the TCO,
if it dies, it dies.
Right.
They've also studied TCO, and Apples have a lower TCO when you look at a 3-year period.
So. Oh, I agree. I'm a happy Apple user myself. Too. The Daily Detroit is a complete Apple shop, but
cheap plug. Damn. Get out of here with that. Edit that out, Dave.
But anyway, the sessions were rife with marketing. I get to have dinner with the business unit though, who makes the software that I've done for the last 15 years, and that was freaking cool.
See, I always liked the collab demo from Rowan Trollope that used to do like, hey, the next gen WebEx, the next gen telepresence. And they always come out with some really cool stuff.
And Cisco Spark is really freaking cool, basically. Yeah. It's like the next generation of telepresence. They're putting machine learning and artificial intelligence into the WebEx platform. And it is freaking super cool. So exciting stuff coming from Cisco, hopefully. And then if they take that and they...
So it will know when you're just sitting there in a dress shirt and
your
no pants.
Your eyeballs are not looking at the screen.
You can tell exactly who in the room farted, actually, yes.
Those are my favorite things to do, Nuri, is we used to do WebExes for Central Region. There'd be 500-600 people in attendance. So I would always entice them with listening, with going, hey, you got an hour blocked out. I'll be done in a half an hour. Give you an hour back to email so you don't have to email and play Clash of Clans and all that. I'll give you the half hour back of your life. And we would end the call at the bottom of the hour, and 300 people would still be on for the rest. So like they would open up their WebEx so it would get their Cisco points. And then they'd go to lunch.
Cisco points.
Yeah, I know, right? So they'd give out like awesome stuff. But then they would go to lunch and they couldn't, you know, hit log off.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we're like, oh my God, we got to write down all. So we screenshot like all these people and send it to all the partners going, they're not paying attention.
And then at the end of the week, it was great. Bruno Mars was the customer appreciation event in the T-Mobile Center.
Oh my God.
Almost every seat in that auditorium was full. And it's just amazing how many people were at Cisco Live. So all in all, great show. If you want a chance to get to it, tell your boss, get out there. There's actually a lot of legit stuff going on at Cisco Live. It's not just a bunch of
marketing. The money they dropped to get Bruno Mars.
I can't even imagine.
Oh.
And he put on just like – he got out there. There was no opening act. There was like – and ladies and gentlemen, Bruno Mars. And that was it. And he performed for an hour and a half nonstop. And then the lights went off and he was done. And it was just – oh, so good.
I remember like when they got Calvin Harris and they said they dropped $250,000 on him for like just a DJ.
Sure.
And I'm like, I go, everyone's complaining. Then, like, I've seen John Bon Jovi. I've seen, like, you know, HP always did it right where it's like Cheap Trick. You know, they cost, like, what, 10 grand. I get it.
Exactly.
They were awesome, though, and everybody liked it. But then, like, you get to Cisco, and it's like John Bon Jovi. You're like, what in the – like, Aerosmith. We're like, what?
That was 2 years ago in San Diego. That was an amazing show.
I was at a WeWork Quicken event earlier this year, and they had Wyclef Jean.
Ooh.
He's about 10 grand these days.
He's right. Grand. That was my point. Maybe five.
So let's go. We haven't had a good dumb Freudian moment of the week.
A couple in Minnesota?
Yeah. Is it that big of a deal to be YouTube famous these days? You got this one guy, I'm going to beat the hell out of my kids, I'm going to be YouTube famous. And you got people doing really stupid stuff on YouTube now trying to get famous.
What kind of stupid stuff would they do?
And I'm not going to lie. Like, this to me is a commercial for why guns should not be as readily available as they are. Let's be honest.
Careful.
I'm just careful. Saying.
But it's no. Here's a, you got a guy holding up a book, and I'll be honest, I don't know what book it was.
Probably the Bible.
And it's not like.
And his 7-month pregnant girlfriend holding a 50 caliber.
I was gonna say it's not like it's a 22 or even like a 9mm. He's shooting a Desert Eagle 50 caliber.
That's my favorite gun.
And he holds up a book to stop the bullet.
Because he thinks the book is... Now, short of being, like, I'm going to guess, I don't know what, the first 8 to 10 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica, a book isn't going to do much against a 50 caliber. No, anybody with any common sense...
A bulletproof vest, like Tom Nardone Bullet Safe,
right.
Won't stop a 50 cal.
Where's the bell? That was a good plug.
Yeah, Tom, how you doing? No, but that won't stop a 50 cal. It's only rated up to a 40.
So I shot a 50 cal at a bachelor party once, and it's a beautiful...
It's a cannon.
...beautiful pistol. And it's the kind of recoil, if you don't hold it, and they warned us when we were shooting this, like, this will clock you straight in the forehead, and you will bleed profusely.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just basically sitting there, and it's like, it's got a hell of a kick. But I found a guy on the internet who tested a bunch of different guns against books. And a 22 caliber will penetrate 1 inch worth of books. And 22 is basically...
That's what I'm saying. From how far away?
I don't remember what he was testing
from.
Okay. But does his girlfriend have good aim? Does anyone have good aim with a 50 caliber?
Exactly.
So right. A 45 ACP penetrated 4.25 inches of books. So basically that is a large... That's any book written
by
Stephen King.
That's the unabridged Stephen King The Stand.
Under the Dome. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Dune.
I don't know what they were thinking. That's just the most...
I'm going to get famous, millions. YouTube money.
She got charged, didn't she, with, like, manslaughter?
Yeah. Negligent discharge of a firearm.
Yeah, I'd say that's not manslaughter.
I'm thinking the penalty there is the fact that she's 7 months pregnant with their second child. Yeah.
When it comes to these kind of weapons, the key...
Why isn't daddy around? Well...
And then she starts crying. It's like, oh, shit.
So the one that's interesting, and this is makes for a good conversation, is with Google in the EU, recently got slapped with a 2.7 billion euro fine over search results. Like, that's... Like, if you're Google... You know, and you probably saved all that in tax money by setting up shop in Ireland.
In Ireland, right.
So you don't really care because it's kind of a wash. But what does that say to, I guess, the regulations of the EU? I mean, really, it was just what? Shopping rule? Like, you couldn't get preferential placement in the Google tab shopping.
Yeah, they call that antitrust, I think, or anti-competitive practices. And basically, the thing is, like, when you would type in something in Google Shopping, they would show their results first, which you're Google. I kind of get it. You're giving the search results. They put the little word sponsored underneath it, right? So
they're very, very
it's your own product.
Sponsored.
That was the point of my bringing up a good point is it's your own product. There's no, like, you don't need to be net neutral if you're Google. Google.
But let's get to
go to Bing if you want. Sorry, Jer. You gotta if you want like different results. You gotta like either A, do your own EU, or like go to Bing.
But Bing just uses Google searches, so it doesn't matter anyways. Right. They used to.
Oh yeah. Remember that? No, but you know what I'm saying? It's like Google. No way says they need their search results need to be fair. They try to be for the sake of their good being a good product.
But they're still Google.
But they're still Google.
And so having their results come up first,
right?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, though, this feels much more about the fact that Europe doesn't have a competitive competitor in the space, and so there's a lot of social anxiety about losing the culture of Europe. You know, same thing in Canada with their broadcast rules around songs and radio.
Right.
So this is much more. I think this is much more about culture than competitiveness.
Well, there's a really interesting thing about – there's talk about the EU Commission being biased. I mean, think about
it. Of course they
are. They're like, well, there's no data to suggest that. But, well, they sued Microsoft in 2008, Intel in 2009, Qualcomm in 2015, Apple in 2016, and Facebook in 2017. So they're obviously worried about these American tech companies and what – how much of Europeans' lives they control.
Well,
then build your own.
Well, yeah. That's the whole thing, right?
It's like that whole thing with ICANN, you know, that whole, you know, decentralizing and giving away the U.S. control of the internet. No, we built it. I'm sorry. We built it. We get to control it. If that's not good for you, go build your own internet.
The entire Czech Republic is coding for the U.S. companies anyway. You can't.
Exactly. Rentacoder.com is all like Russian, Czech, and Turkish programmers writing code for.
I resemble that.
I'm just saying.
Now, Nuri, you sent an interesting link this week about the Department of Justice.
Yeah, that's interesting. And
it's not interesting. It's scary as hell.
Well, it's semi-relevant here.
So basically the whole thing started when someone had an email address in a foreign country, mm-hmm. and it was a Hotmail account or something.
It was like a Hotmail.fr or Hotmail. It was a European company. It was an offshore, not U.S. based.
And the interesting thing about European data is that there's that safe harbor rules, right? So I think all European data has to stay in European data centers. So basically the DOJ wanted access to this email account. Microsoft said none.
Yeah.
They said no. And now they're basically taking it to the Supreme Court. And the ramifications of this, which are like – are absolutely ridiculous. Like,
well, and I guess put that in perspective. So the DOJ got a U.S. warrant to go to Microsoft in Redmond and said, give us this data on a foreign server. And Microsoft said no.
They said no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oui. No.
Is Nuri sensing the resistance?
No. What's really scary, though, is what happens then if this thing goes through and the DOJ can basically march into any country and say, I need data in this data center. What happens when somebody in, like, Iran demands data from U.S. data centers? They just get to march into ours and say, oh, why I need your data, please? It's like
– well, I think it would have to be – so, I mean, I think it's – there are – because the DOJ's argument, and I thought it was hilarious, that they filed a 220-page brief.
Baffle them with bullshit.
That only had 17 pages of actual arguments in it. But so, I mean, it's – you know, their argument is, well, Microsoft is a U.S.-based company. They technically have control over those servers even though they're in, you know, foreign lands. Therefore, a U.S. warrant should give us access to – those foreign servers because they're controlled by a U.S. company. So I'm not as worried about the argument about someone in it. Like I would be worried about, say, someone in Iran walking into a U.S. company's data center in Iran and saying fork over the data. But I mean, it's kind of a weird thing.
Tech Dirt actually has the document posted. It's 207 pages.
Yeah, it's 207.
You can read all 200 if you care.
All 183 pages and of they're nonsense.
Like, terrorism. But one of the examples they cite was like a drug dealer, an actual just like low level drug dealer that they wanted access to his email account. So in all things
that happens with the internet and with data centers and all, it all comes back to porn.
Always
nothing we haven't talked about before. So I guess there was a great article came out in Vox, and it's basically proof that Americans are lying about their quote unquote either fantasies / desires.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, I loved this story so hard. It was such a great thing where it's basically a researcher sat down and did a deep dive analysis on people's porn search results, and the stats in there were like, you know, there are like women are searching for is my husband gay?
Especially in the South, actually.
Especially in the South, apparently. And they said, you know, statistically, you should be more concerned in searching for is my husband depressed or is my husband cheating on me?
Or secretly an alcoholic.
Or secretly an alcoholic. But no, they're also, you know, the majority is searching on is my husband gay?
It says right here, they're 10 times more likely to ask Google if their husband is gay than if he's depressed or an alcoholic.
Yep. It is far more likely that a woman is married to a man who is secretly an alcoholic or secretly depressed than secretly gay.
Can you be a secretretly gay, depressed, alcoholic husband as well?
It's statistically very small.
Well, it's crazy. And just, you know, some of the stuff. And one thing I thought was interesting was, you know, they talk about how it disproves a stereotype because, you know, they said the vast majority of searches were looking – it was men searching for – larger women in porn as opposed to like skinny women. So he's like, so you have this world where women are trying to be skinny because they think that's what men want, and men are trying to date skinny women because they think that's what they're supposed to have. But then when they're home, they're searching for porn for not skinny girls, and the girls don't need to be skinny because then they could have the guys that want the girl. And here's some
bad news.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. And then the world goes round.
Right.
about 1 in 100 are for grandma porn.
Yeah,
like that's just that's
here it is. Yeah, it's highly inefficient. There are a lot of single
65?
Men. Yeah, there's a lot of single men and single overweight women who would be sexually compatible, but they don't date because the man tries and fails to date a skinny woman, even though he's less attracted to her. And then the women who are practically starving themselves to remain skinny so their husbands won't leave, even though their husbands would be more attracted to them if they weighed more. The desire to impress people just causes all kinds of inefficiencies.
what an interviewer like statistics kind of thing to say. The thing that I liked was that. People think that there's a larger concentration of gay people in New York City and mm-hmm. Los Angeles, but it turns out that based on porn searches, they're about the same from everywhere.
Yep.
Which I thought was a really interesting thing.
The one that came from India is the number one search for women is
my husband wants me to.
Yeah.
Well, and that's only – and they search – they use that initial search. Like that was the start of like, okay, my husband wants me to ... was okay, what pops?
It was adult breastfeeding.
Apparently in India, men want to be breastfed. Oh. That's a thing. But hey, whatever floats you. I've always said everybody has their kinks.
Right.
As long as your kinks don't interfere with my kinks, we're good.
Japanese yep. men are all into tickling. Apparently that's
yeah.
a thing.
Tickling party. I didn't understand it.
Tickle party later. Well, the book is called Everybody Lies. It's by Seth Stevens, Davidowitz, and pick it up wherever fine books are sold.
And I know, I think this is a great thing. You know, sometimes I think it would be a good thing if everyone's porn habits were just released at once. It would be embarrassing for about 30 seconds, and then we'd all get over it and just be more open about sex.
Can we have them, like, float above our heads? I mean,
right.
So one of my favorite podcasts we ever did is when we did the Berenstain Bears Mandela Effect discussion for probably almost like a half an hour.
And so for those not familiar with the Mandela effect, so there is this theory floating around that timelines have split at some point in time because there are a large number of people who truly believe and remember that Nelson Mandela died while being held in a South African jail. He did not. He died in 2013, resulting from, I believe it was heart failure, if I recall correctly. But there are thousands and thousands of people that believe with every fiber of their being that they remember the news reports, they remember the stories, they remember everything about him dying in captivity. And then so the Berenstain Bears tie-in was, well, wait a minute. It's not EIN at the end of it.
It's
no.
It's stain like gravy.
It's AIN.
Right.
And I'm like, well, but no, I swear I remember the books, and it's EIN.
I remember going to Cedar Point when they had Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Gretchen, my 13-year-old daughter and me talked about that for probably like 45 solid minutes ago. Because she even says, no, it's Steen, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, when did it change then? If you remembered it and you're still young.
But apparently it never changed. It's all according to this, right. It's always been AIN.
Right.
Now, the one that I hit you with that kind of like you were like, go F yourself, I'm Googling this right now, is the Flintstones.
It's Flint with a T.
Yeah, are not the no, but it's not. It's the Flintstones. If you Google it,
if you
look at the old cartoons, it's the Flintstones.
So is the song Flintstones?
It's the Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones.
You're a liar.
Not Flintstones.
Well, no, I'm looking at like the current Flintstones, and it's with a T. Like on iTunes.
Well,
iTunes
if you
store.
Google the Flintstones now, you'll see the T has reappeared as of the movie.
No, vitamins are damn Flint with a T.
You know, those are pretty
Wikipedia,
tasty.
Wikipedia is a T. Wikipedia is all knowing.
So
it's backwards then. So
according
when was
to the last edit?
The Flintstone House, and yeah, it's Flintstones. The stupid John Goodman movie, T. When was it not T?
I'm just looking at it, dude. Apparently it wasn't T.
It's T.
You know, and everybody, you know, and this, you know, the Empire one that everybody gets wrong. It's not Luke, I am your father. It's no, I am your father.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, which was never actually said.
See, the one I don't get though is the McDonald's or Mac, M-A-C. I don't ever remember.
I feel like my
McDonald's.
I remember McDowell's.
Shut up.
No, I think like
from Coming to America.
My great granddad
that movie's
called
amazing.
It McDonald's. Like everyone I know from
everyone
like,
called it McDonald's, but right. It wasn't spelled McDonald's.
No, never.
But that's what people are insinuating. It was spelled McDonald's.
And We Are the Champions does not end with Of the World.
To the death. I'll take that to the – yes, it does.
The little piano comes in and does his little flourish, and then it fades out,
right? It just fades out.
And
he says,
that's the end.
And everybody sings Of the World.
Toilet.
But it's not
it
there.
Ends. No, I will – I'm not going to bet anything because I'll make
a stupid
bet right
now. Can we put that in
right
the next commercial break and like hear the music?
Oh, I'll totally dig it up.
All right, sweet.
yeah, you know, C-3PO, you know, we all remember him as being completely gold in the original movies. But there are screenshots where he has a silver leg.
See, the one like Oscar Mayer or Oscar Mayer, like spelled with an A or an
My Baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My Baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
That's what I thought. Then who the hell thinks it's an E?
But it's E. You go to the company website, it's E. It's
That's
always
toilet
been
too.
E.
No, 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 hold on. That's, hold on a minute. It is not, I'm not eating their bologna anymore if it's M-E. Not like I've eaten it lately, but M-A-Y-E-R.
That's
M-A-Y-E-R.
That's what I always thought it was.
That's what it says. I'm looking at it right now. Wikipedia, they know everything. M-A-Y-E-R. Who thought it was E? They're an idiot. They didn't listen to the damn ads.
Dude, I'm just telling you what's there.
The .com is M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat them every day. And if you ask me, while I'll say, Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Sorry, I'm trying to find We Are the World. Or not We Are the World. We Are the Champions, quick. And
good call, Dave. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Who says it's E?
I get the dude. I'm there are screenshots. I'm just saying it says it's M E Y E R.
I don't like this. This is no. This, anyone thinks that we're gonna have to have a talk. Then the weird one, the weirdest one out of this whole thing is the 90s Sinbad movie that everyone thinks exists that doesn't.
Dude, that's been floating around for a good like 4 or 5 years.
I think everyone thinks it's Kazam with Shaq.
No, see, like I like, and I'll be honest, like I'm one of the ones that's a little fuzzy on this one because I could swear there was a Sinbad movie where he was a genie, and I kind of remember it. I want to say like early 90s, it came out. It was
starred
a thing.
Sinbad.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Dude, yes. That's when Sinbad was a thing.
Yes. Hold on a minute. You remember this movie?
Yes, I do. And when I see this come up, I'm thinking, like, these people are crazy. Because people were thinking about Sinbad way before they were thinking of Shaq. And there is a movie. And I feel like we need to find it because I remember seeing that.
I feel like Sinbad and Shaq are not replaceable.
So there's no –
they're not interchangeable at all.
No.
There's no evidence of this movie ever being over existing. And the actor Sinbad also says he's never played a genie, and people are confusing him with Shaq.
No.
I'm just saying, dude, it's a weird, weird thing. I mean, it's – yeah.
Sin Shaq?
No.
Shaq Bad, yeah.
Hey, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Jennifer Crawford and Carol from Ask Jennifer and All Things Detroit. This is the IT in the D Show.
And we'll be right back.
Oh, good job, Nuri.
Thanks.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 2, episode 203. I almost ended it with Weird Al. I feel bad living with a hernia.
No of the world.
There is no of the world.
I think this is Dave's special edit version. I don't
Dave
know.
Dave barely managed to, yeah, unless that's the Queen Vivo, they edited it to screw with us. I barely got that downloaded before I could put it in the queue. So.
This is segment 2 of the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1, Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Dr. Hook Jeremiah from Daily Detroit is in the house. Find us online, itinthed.com. Hey, this segment is brought to you by our very, very good friends at HelloFresh. They are a meal kit delivery service, makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes, step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. Now, if anyone knows me, my wife is
a seasoned cook.
Oh, boom. My wife is I call her the chief microwave officer at the house.
You do.
And she puts out some like restaurant quality. Like, I would pay $25 for these meals at, like, nice restaurants. Like, yeah. This stuff comes out. Like, we had some cod tonight with some Asian rice. Awesome. Like, really one of the best meals I've had at home in a very long time. They always use fresh ingredients that we've never got anything. We've been using for like 6-8 months.
Well, that's the nice part about it. When they ship it to you, I mean, it comes in a box full of, you know, ice packs and all the other stuff. Nothing's ever been wilted. Nothing's ever been.
Never. No. They employ 2 full-time registered dietitians who review each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced. They'll deliver food to your doorstep in an recyclable insulated box for free. You can tell them any day of the week, basically Monday through Saturday. You can skip weeks.
And that's the nice part is being able to pause it. Like if you know you're going to be out of town for a week, or you know you're going to be like, you know, you're just going to have too much going on, you can just pause it for the week, resume it the next week, and you're good to go.
Yeah, yeah. And right now they're offering very light summer meals, and it just introduced breakfast options. Oh my God, breakfast options!
Kind of got to see what that's about.
I'm so in. Oh my God, I want. And
I don't care what's in that box, Bob's breaking out the waffle iron.
Exactly. All of it in a waffle iron. And the best part is it's all under $10 a meal. So, I mean, you're getting restaurant quality stuff and you're getting it at really grocery store pricing. Use promo code ITINTHED30 for $30 off your first week of deliveries. So go to HelloFresh.com and use code ITINTHED30 altogether.
That's code IT in the D.
30.
Yeah.
When you subscribe, and thank you, HelloFresh.
Cool.
So, hey, we have a couple awesome guests, and thank you for hanging out with us on this 4th of July weekend. But yeah, we have Jennifer Crawford now from Ask Jennifer, and Carol's hanging out. You didn't want to talk, did you?
I can talk. I might put in a little something or two. So,
you're
it's
here.
Okay.
You're here.
My presence.
You're here, so you're talking.
So, and the only thing missing is Detroit soup, because I went and looked. It was episode 59. Still back in the Russell, we had Jennifer in, we had Jer in, and we had Detroit soup in for episode 59.
And I was there as well.
And no one
also
brought,
not to talk.
And but. No one brought soup.
No one, no one brought soup.
That's garbage. So Jennifer, I mean, I guess fill us in, you know, for what All Things Detroit and what Ask Jennifer is. I mean, for those that didn't listen to episode 59, fill us in. Let's dive into your new projects.
Well, a lot has changed in over those 3 years. We went from having like 60 small businesses to having 250 and over 10,000 customers that come out to this event. So,
okay. Nice.
All Things Detroit is just a small business showcase where I promote the people behind the business. You can come out, you can shop, you can eat, you have free face painting for your family, your kids, and it's just like a good time. But it's all about shopping, supporting small business.
And that's the one thing that I think people always forget about. It's easy to go to Whole Foods. It's easy to go to, you know, Meijer, Walmart. But it's like those little bakeries and those little delis. That's what makes the city go.
Yes. We have like about 20 food trucks each event.
Okay.
So we have a variety of different things. Kosher food, vegan, everything. So you can come. Your kids can get their face painted. You can shop. You can buy whatever.
Why is it that food trucks put out better food than like restaurants? It doesn't make any sense to me. But every food truck I've ever had is the best meal I've ever had.
Yeah. People love the food trucks.
I have a theory about that. The reality is that food trucks can't carry that much inventory, so they're always buying fresh stuff.
Ooh. Oh.
Why can't restaurants buy fresh stuff?
Because they don't have to. Because you're already sitting there. You're invested. Whereas the food truck, it's like they don't have room. Like functionally, they always have to get fresh stuff.
That's a good point.
So talk to me. What's the experience like when you go to All Things Detroit?
Oh, All Things Detroit is an experience for sure. We give like free tote bags to the first 1,000 guests.
Okay.
And we want you to shop with these businesses. So we've developed an All Things Detroit mobile app. And so on the app, you can find the vendors before the event, after the event. You can go to their table number. And we're including a new punch card system. So if you shop with 10 of the businesses, you can get a free prize from All Things Detroit. It'll be something different every time.
How many vendors are there?
Including food trucks, we have about 250.
Oh, my wow. God.
250.
This thing blow. I don't remember it being like a quarter this size. Like,
no.
This thing's like almost doubled, but or if not more.
Oh, more than that.
It's triple. Actually, I started doing this in my one-bedroom apartment in Lafayette Park about 5 years ago, and boom, here it is now. So yeah.
How cool is that?
It's awesome. It's awesome. I work with it's great people, but it's all about like the businesses. I mean, these people are feeding their families with these people that come and patronize them with these events. I mean, 12,000 people coming out to support small businesses, and these people are not from Detroit. These people drive from Ohio. They come from Canada, all to come over to this event in Eastern Market.
How cool
so
is
it's
that?
July 13th. Yes.
Oh no, July 13th. I'm actually launching the All Things Marketplace.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a nationwide buy and sell community for small businesses. So not only will you be able to find these businesses on the app, you'll be able to shop from them, see their stories, everything on the All Things Marketplace. So on the 13th, we're launching that, and I'm celebrating 5 years in business.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And it's really amazing giving these local businesses who may not have much of a web platform, right? So they may not think that it's important. They may not have the time or money to do so.
And you I think it's a resource thing. Oh, it's not, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I got the idea, because when we do the application process, people are just like, how much is the website? I don't have a website. Like, I don't know about this. So it's like, you know what? You can create your store on the marketplace. You can connect with people in other states and sell your product, because, I mean, everybody's like, Detroit, but like, you got to get your product. Think about wholesale. Think about long-term is what I tell all of the businesses.
So I guess logistical question. So, I mean, is it you handling all the back-end stuff? Is it still them worrying about, like, shipping and all that kind of stuff? Or
I'm just handling all of the back-end stuff. They're actually going to be doing their own shipping and everything. It's kind of like, I would say, a Etsy and a Facebook combined.
Okay.
Kind of like that type of thing, I would say. So you'll be able to add other.
So you're kind of like Uber. You're putting two people together, taking a little cut off the top, and letting them do what they want to do.
Yeah, kind of something like that. Yes, but what we're doing a little different is, like, I always say, if I know about you, that's what makes me want to buy your product. So I promote the people behind the business. So there's going to be a source where we do, like, All Things Detroit conversations, where somebody's just sitting talking to you, telling them about your business. There's one lady, Karen, with Natural Red. She has 5 kids. Her husband said, you know what? I don't want to be married anymore. So she's like, what the hell? But guess what? She promotes her business and she makes her products in her kitchen where she raises 5 kids. But there's one person with 1 kid who's saying, I can't do anything. I have 1 kid. But Karen is like, no, hell no. I'm going to promote my business. I have 5 kids and she's making it happen. So those are the stories that encourage other people.
I'm having flashbacks to Total Recall with that cab driver. I got 5 kids to be here.
What's that got to do with me? So is there a start and stop line in terms of, hey, I got a small business. Is there a bad fit to come to this, or is everybody, it doesn't matter?
You know what? I kind of go with the demographics of people that come to the event. If we have certain products that I don't think is going to be a great fit, I'll say, you know what? This is not the demographic for you, but if we have other events that you want to be a part of, we can.
We already have 73 Rodin and Fields tables. I don't think we can add another one.
Actually, right. We don't even allow direct sales.
Good. I didn't want to be rude and insinuate that, but then, no, that makes me a lot more comfortable having you sitting next to me.
No. You know, we don't have direct sales vendors. These are all people who have started their business from the ground up, from scratch. They're creating
perfect.
Their own branding, everything.
Yeah. Perfect.
No direct sales. Good, no good. Avon.
No. No Tupperware? Oh, no. Come on. What am I going to do? No.
Whatever will you do? So, okay, so the marketplace opens July 13th. Like, how many businesses are going to be there at launch? What's your game plan moving forward?
So, you know what? For the launch, we're actually, now we're in beta testing, and we have about, I want to say, 25 vendors on the site.
Okay.
So by the end of the year, I plan to have all of my 200 businesses on the website by the end of the year. That's my goal. That's my goal, to get everybody on this website functioning.
Is there an upfront to get on it, or are you just taking on the back?
Actually, what we're doing right now is, when we're the beta testing, there's no cost. But when you sign up, there will be a 30 days free trial, because we're just kind of want everybody to get comfortable with it and everything, and then we're going to kick out the pricing and everything, which it still will be very reasonable and to support small business. So.
Now, okay. Now, does every small business get that story? Is that's really your differentiator, right? Is
what do you mean?
So you said you were trying to tell the story of people, like, behind the business.
Behind the business, because everybody has a story.
Right. So are you basically, every business who comes onto the platform will have that?
Every business that comes on that has that, because there's also a seller profile, and then there's a profile for your store, but we're implementing where you can
record. If only you knew somebody with a studio where you could record that stuff.
I do. Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's going to be awesome. I mean, to come from, like, in your one-bedroom apartment and nobody thinking, like, everybody thinking, what the hell is All Things Detroit? And who is this girl and what is she doing? She just wants our money.
I do. But, like, I remember those first conversations where I mean, you were having those struggles. You were like, I really want to help promote Detroit businesses, and I'm trying to figure out how to get past that mental inertia.
Dave, look at our history and how many of we've heard of these things just fizzling and going away. And here's Jennifer, like, just taking this thing to town. And I couldn't be happier that, like, something like this has, like, gotten this. Like, when you were throwing numbers out, how many vendors and how many people are calling, I'm like, oh, my God, it's 12,000 people.
12,000 people.
Jerry there has a question, or he wants to go to the bathroom.
Put your hand up.
I didn't want to interrupt you, because I heard earlier when I got here today, like, well, we had to ban you for a month because you talked over me. I thought I'd be polite.
Did we say only a month? Because I know
it was like 3. Whatever. We'll say it's a month. Good enough. One of the things I thought was really amazing about what you did was you actually have a minor admission fee to get into a lot of your events. Not all, I don't think all, but all, but a lot of them.
Yes.
And what I thought that was really great about that is that it actually put people in the mood to buy.
Exactly.
It changed it from a looky-loo on a Sunday that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be like, ooh, look at the thing, to, okay, I've put $5 in, I'm, or whatever it is. I'm invested. I'm part of this. And then I have been to multiple of your events, as you know.
Yes.
And I have watched people walk out with armfuls of stuff, like low-key, not expecting to buy stuff. And then it's just like they're just like and some of the people who show at your events also do things with us at Daily Detroit. Mm-hmm. I think of specifically Motor City Creations.
Yes.
Yeah, they do a lot of great stuff with us. And they're great performing events for them because people there are ready to buy. And you got it where it's like, I don't need everybody. I need the people who want to spend some money.
And you know what? I say like this all the time. A lot of people say, we have free admission. I feel like if you call something a show, people come to watch and see. But if you promote shopping, people come to spend money. And that $5 is the difference than someone just coming in to say, oh, I see a nice pair of earrings, but I didn't pay anything to get in. But if I pay $5, I'm going to buy something.
And that's why Gibraltar Trade Center is closing.
Right.
Yes, no. But no, people don't think about, what about the old school super sales? My parents would pay like $5 or $10 to go buy
the
like a broke down VCR back in the day. And like nobody cared. But it's like you're supporting people, feeding families. And one thing about Jenna Motor City Creation.
I love those super sales, by the way. Those are the best.
I reached out to Jenna and Ted 2 years ago. I said, you guys got great product. You should do this. They said to me, we really don't pay over $100 for a fee. This is not something that we like to do. I'm like, no problem. I'm like, but you got good product. Just trust me. You'll do well. Since that day they signed up, Jenna told me the other day that I changed her life. And that just made me like teary-eyed because she said that she now – paying that money, her product was great. She took chances. Now they have a contract with Faygo. They have all these different things because they took a chance on their business. Chances make champions. You can't just be like, oh, this and that. You have to like work it out. I quit my job and I had no money. And they were putting notes on my door like, hey, girl, rent is due. And I'm like, okay, Laura, this is the plan, but what's next? I mean,
I know the feeling too. I mean, at the end of last year, I left my corporate job and doing Daily Detroit full time. And one of the things that with Motor City Creations, they hustle so hard.
Yes,
you
they
know?
Do. They do.
And they've been able to create so many interesting partnerships. And every time we feature them on the site, like tens of thousands of people come through because it's good stuff. And that's the thing with all your vendors. They're really good.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing – I'm consulting for the night market. Are you guys familiar with the new park that's opening downtown? DTE is opening a new park downtown. Yeah. They're going to do a night market every Saturday night. So we're going to showcase 25 businesses every Saturday night. At the new park downtown. Great security, everything. So you can come down, shop, listen to a band, grab some food trucks. But they're going to be all Detroit, you know, Michigan-based businesses.
Well, and that park's looking really good. We just ran a photo gallery over on the site, and it is coming together so well. That restaurant, all the things. And there's actually going to be green space on top of the restaurant.
It's going to be really nice.
You know, but...
Well, and times have changed, too. You're not seeing at these things all the vendors, like Dave's favorite was, you know... Shape of Michigan from Faygo bottle caps on a piece of wood. Like people are actually right. putting out really cool and making really cool products, and really cool companies are coming out of this.
And they're making stuff. I mean, something besides like t-shirts. They're really like putting these things together and like making all these things. I love what I do. I love working with these
people. Are services welcome too, or just products? Or
we do have some services that come just like for the exposure to be in front of a lot of people. Yeah. But most of the time it's mostly product-based.
Okay. I'm thinking, you know, like anything from Handyman or just, you know, people doing
podcast networks. You know,
right, whatever. Podcast networks.
Well, you guys are open. Welcome to come down to All Things Detroit anytime. Plum Market just sent me an email that they want to participate. They have a new truck that they want to showcase where they're going to be. They want to sign up for All Things Detroit. Wow. So my goal is to have All Things Detroit everywhere, not just All Things Detroit. I'm actually sponsoring an event in New York as well, small business. So we're just like all small business all day. It's not a trend. You know, everybody has a dream. Let's go.
Can listen, you tell Plum Market to open up a Detroit location, then you'll allow them to do so?
Well,
Gauntlet Road Plum Market, what?
They have a mobile truck, actually. They reached out today to say that they have a mobile thing that they're doing, so they'll just be over there with the food trucks.
Nice.
Listeners, buy all the things at All Things Detroit.
Exactly. So the marketplace is launching July 13th, yes. And that's allthingsdetroit.com?
It's no, All Things Marketplace, because you don't have to be from Detroit. It's a nationwide marketplace.
Okay.
So anybody can sign up for it.
So are you obviously you're screening vendors and products on that too?
Yes, because once you submit your application online, it's a review. We have to review it. Okay. It's a review process, because we don't want people just uploading anything
or selling garbage.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we're monitoring everything. Like right now, we have about 25 businesses on there. Little tweaks that we're making. Like I said, we're in beta testing right now, but we should be all ready to go.
When you open up Facebook Marketplace, it's like a huge, like, I'm going to throw this in the garbage.
18 inch television. I saw one. I'm like, oh
my God.
Really?
So
popsicle stick, gently used, $4.
Yeah. So many notifications. I'm like, what the hell is this red button at the bottom of my phone? And it's the marketplace from Facebook. Yeah.
Now that Let Go has started, but it's all garbage. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Well, what's not garbage is this website, because holy crap, this is amazing. Allthingsmarketplace.com. This is a beautiful website. I mean, I'm like, is this Etsy? I'm like, am I on the right site even? I'm like,
oh,
this is
no, it's
really
not
gorgeous.
Etsy. It's Ask Jennifer's All Things Marketplace.
It is
That's
beautiful.
What it
is.
Thank you. Like I said, it's still a lot of things that we have to get done, some of the businesses, but we're excited about it.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
Neri does not throw that out loosely. So that is the vote of confidence.
Neri knows how to make the internet.
Right.
Thanks to Cisco's brand new product. Anyway.
All right. So I guess if people are interested in signing up, and then when is your next event?
My next event, I'm actually doing something in Ann Arbor, August 22nd. We're doing a small business pop-up at Briarwood Mall. So we're going to have about 30 small businesses throughout the mall that are set up, and it's kind of like Detroit-based businesses. And then we have All Things Detroit, again, November 5th at the Eastern Market. But if you download the app, the All Things Detroit mobile app on Google Play and Apple, we send out notifications. You can see all the events, complete list of vendors, where they're located. You can go to their Facebook, everything. So it's just everything, All Things Detroit, at your fingertips.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very good. It is. We're roughly 150 episodes later. That's so freaking cool.
Thank you so much. It went really, really fast. It went from one day people not giving a damn to people being like, that's actually really cool what you're doing. So I'm happy.
When it happens, that tends to be how it happens. Yeah.
Yes.
It's weird. All right.
Well, hey, congrats on the success. We'll post all the links, and we'll hopefully see you there. I'll make plans to go out there. Yeah. That sounds like a great time.
I hope you can make it for sure.
But Jennifer, thank you for spending time with us.
Thank
and Carol,
you.
Thank you for not saying much.
Anytime.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Jeremiah from Daily Detroit.
Was it Berenstain or Berenstain?
Stain.
Did that actually happen or not?
Am I actually coming
back? This is the IT and the D show.
And we'll maybe right back?
We'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D Show.
ITintheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 3, episode 203. This is the IT and the D Show, broadcasting here at Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. I almost forgot what city we're in. This is Bob the Sales Guy. This is Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house. Find us online, itandthed.com. Shout out to Ian filling out the Twitters. Randy's drunk on Zima right now, so he's not
filling out. We love you, Randy.
He says an apology note. I'm drunk on Zima.
I'm in the sauce.
in the Zima. But yeah, find us online, itandthed.com. And that voice you've been hearing this throughout the show is none other than Dr. Hook himself, Jeremiah, the proprietor of DailyDetroit.com. Welcome back, sir. And always a pleasure having you here.
Always a pleasure to be here. I feel fancy with the word proprietor.
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 Proprietor of fine things.
Fine stories and videos and audio on the internet.
Yeah. So we were at the social media thing Friday, Solo's event, when the story broke about the hat shop.
Right.
Shutting down. Or, yeah, at least their Detroit location.
Their Detroit location,
and it's
yeah,
the oldest hattery in
the
United States, from what I gather.
Correct.
Like 18...
Late 1880s.
Dude.
Which is crazy. Now, a caveat here, although the deal has not been finalized, there is definitely talk that the city wants to find a place
for
them.
And now you've
got
DEGC stepping in, and you've got, yeah.
Right, because, you know, media attention tends to do that. But it's one of those things, it's a really sad moment in a lot of ways because... You know, this is kind of a reckoning for a lot of people. It's something that they can understand of like the change that's happening in Detroit, right? Because they're actually – their business is up revenue is up, but they still couldn't make that rent note if they with it increased.
Well, yeah, because what he said basically the owner of the building took the opt out,
right?
And was like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna find somebody new.
Well, and what's sad is that the next door location is actually like garage door down.
Yeah.
The sad part about this is that there's been quite a few instances in Detroit where they take the opt out and they'd rather have it sit empty than put somebody in there, which is really sad.
Because tax break?
I don't know. Or not necessarily tax break.
Waiting on Gilbert to come along and buy it.
Yeah, Danny Gilbert, Danny Warbucks.
And you hear that all the time, all these great businesses, and they didn't close because they suck. They closed because the landlords suck. And it sucks. Not to use that term.
Well, no, and I get it to some degree. I mean, you know, so like how it, you know, like I don't know how long the person has owned that building.
I have no idea.
But, you know, sat on it for how long through how many years?
Well, there's nothing upstairs. It's not like there's lofts upstairs or anything right. like that. It's just, you know, the Hatter. That's it.
Well, but I mean, the it used to be like they used to make the hats there upstairs.
Right.
Like, and that was one of the cool parts of the story that was interesting. Like, if you didn't see something like on their racks that you liked, you just told them what you wanted. They would go upstairs and make it. You come back in 2 hours and you have a hat.
Little secret, they still do it.
Really?
Oh, but they still do it.
Well, it's not much of a secret if we just said it.
Yeah, I know.
So, I'm just saying.
It's what happens when you go
well,
on a podcast.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Dave Williams has been bugging me to take me shopping there forever. And I was like, yeah, but I'm in. And we never do.
And you have until August 5th.
Oh, it still opens August 5th?
Yeah.
All right, I got to call Dave then.
And by the way, the owner of Henry the Hatter is actually booked for a Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. He's going to be on the show.
Very cool.
But it's really something that we, you know, it's.
But that was like an icon. That's Faygo Better Made Harry the Hatter. That was like, that's an icon. That's Detroit.
I thought it was interesting. Sure. Apparently, every mayor except Duggan has worn a hat to his inauguration, just not Duggan.
Well, he kind of needs one.
But no, that's an iconic Detroit brand. That is like part of like that's Lafayette County. That's the city experience. It's like going to Nuts on Clark in Chicago or Garrett Popcorn. You know what I mean? Even you might not have shopped there, but you knew damn well it was there.
Oh yeah, like when we were at that social media yep. event, my colleague Sven was sitting next to me, and he just like physically was like, "Ugh!" The second we got the press release. Because it was it's a real gut punch. I mean, I have 5 Henry the Hatter hats. He has countless. I mean, that's part of being a city person, right? You've got to have a hat from Henry the Hatter. That's just like part of the uniform.
Huh.
Is it the oldest haberdasher in the country still operating?
I love that word, haberdasher. It makes me think of Are You Being Served from PBS.
It's a haberdasher, see?
Man.
But that's not the only so if you grew up on the east side, I mean, you pretty much spent your weekends a lot hitting the Gibraltar Trade Center down in the Clem.
Another one.
And that's, you know, they closed Taylor, and I didn't, you know, I just thought maybe it was
Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah. But now you close the Clem one, like, damn.
I don't know. When you say the Clem, it doesn't sound very good. It's like I've got the Clem.
It's the Clem, dude. I've got the Clem. No, it's the Clem. Right. But you close that location down? I don't – that's all.
Okay, but be realistic. Did you ever go there outside of Fantasticon when we were there?
No, when I was a kid.
Oh.
That's where I bought my kickers and my amps and
so,
all my
– So 30 years ago.
I went there 30 years ago and I'm going to miss it so much. There was a lady on the TV.
We go all the time. Like just like the flea market out Dixieland.
Yeah.
Dude, I go twice a month. And I buy like, you know, a beer mug here and a Star Wars glass there. And, you know, I'll get the cup of coffee in the back because I like it. And – You make fun of the weirdos.
Make odd eye contact with the guy giving back rubs.
Right. Yeah. Right. But like Gibraltar, the problem with Gibraltar was it wasn't a flea market per se. Like Dixieland. At Dixieland, people bring their old shit and they sell it, right? And you get these oddball collectibles. Gibraltar turned into like buying from like the Chinese like bulk magazines.
Oh yeah, there was a furniture liquidator that was that set up shop there.
They're doing furniture sales too at like Universal Mall yep. and all that kind of stuff.
But they had like that really sad pet store with all like the dogs that were sick and
the church
and the
Mexican barbershop.
No, that's at Dixieland. Gibraltar didn't have these things.
No, there's the church at Gibraltar.
Was there?
Yeah.
The church at Gibraltar. That sounds much more fancy than it actually is.
It turned into
more like a cheap import marketplace than it was like an actual flea market that's like charming.
Yeah, because I mean, it was a lot of leather jackets, you know, katanas. You know, it was basically like a Spencer's exploded.
Right. Like the bad leather shop, the bad jewelry shop, the tattoo parlor, which if you got a tattoo at your Baltic, God help you.
It's a Kermit the Frog. It's a Kermit
right.
the Frog, I'm telling you.
Right.
Or Pepe, who knows?
But they just had weird it was great to go people watch, but like you maybe got some beef jerky from the beef jerky stand. But you didn't
hot donuts.
That's the number one comment, actually. And I'm not aware of this, even though I'm an Eastsider. I was more of an Eastland Mall than a Gibraltar guy. But when we posted that story up, everyone is crazy about the beef jerky stand. What's so magical? And you guys are experts in meat sticks. So tell me.
I don't know that I ever grabbed jerky there. I was always there for the mini donuts.
They had the elk and the buffalo. They were the oddball stuff you can't – it's hard to find unless you go to like a beef jerky outlet up north.
Like on the way to Mackinac,
like,
or
you're not stopping at 7-Eleven and getting like the stuff they had.
Okay,
you know it was, it was good. It was like, you know, I don't know how else to describe it, but like the stuff that was like the cowboy boot shop,
right?
You know, there's the rugs.
They do have a full service bar, which came in handy.
Why haven't we done this?
I used to go all the time.
Well, and it closes what, the end of August?
Yeah.
So I feel like we need a weekend trip.
Is there going to be IT and the D networking event at Gibraltar Trade Center?
No.
Let me just say that you can get great beef jerky from Paul's Beef Jerky at All Things Sea Trade.
There you go. If anyone knows me, I will buy him out if it's good.
They have really good beef jerky, and they have a variety of different kinds. It's like a number one thing there. My niece and nephew were eating beef jerky. Like, I need money for beef jerky. I'm like, what the hell is with the beef jerky?
What have kids come to these days?
Yeah.
Right. Beef jerky.
Getting more jerky.
They used to want ice cream, and now they want jerky.
Salty dry meat. I mean, give me a fix.
And they're tearing down another one of your old stomping grounds, or at least they started to. The Macomb Mall has started demolition on the Sears that was there.
Oh yeah, the Sears, not the whole thing, just the Sears.
Right. I was just like. On the Sears,
because
they
spent a bunch of money on Macomb Mall, like the core part. But
yeah.
Nobody goes to – I mean, not nobody, but nobody goes to department stores anymore.
That was their place. Oh, my God. The fighting and negotiating I had to do with my mother for her to take me places. To go to Macomb Mall, I needed an Orange Julius.
Ooh, those are good.
Yeah. That's when Kresge had like a deli stand, and I always wanted to eat the sandwich.
The bag sandwich?
Yeah, I wanted to eat. No, it was in the center of the mall. Kmart did.
Yeah.
Kresge was like, they had a deli counter like in the middle of the mall, and they had the t-shirt stand where the shiny iron-ons, so you could pick your color.
Right.
Pick your, like the Trans Am one. Like I wanted Empire Strikes Back and Trans Am t-shirts. That's all I wanted. I'd argue with her to go to the Macomb Mall. Like seriously, like I don't even know what we did there, but damn it, we went to Macomb Mall all the time, and then
I think we all spent the vast majority of our teenage years walking around malls in circles.
Well, no, that's when we hung out at there was the arcade in there with a dollar show. We saw Cool as Ice there and played WrestleFest. Like that was like
Cool as Ice.
I know, and I worked at the Little Caesars for 3 months at Macomb Mall. It was the worst job I ever had. I wouldn't touch the food because I was such a prima donna. So they made me be the cashier, and I got it. Like I made 50 cents more an hour than everybody. Then they found out and they fired me because it was a mutiny.
So what else has happened around the city, man?
I mean, there's just so
other than so I mentioned this. You know, Friday night we did the social media thing,
yes.
And then I took a walk around the city, and I saw 7. Effing pedal pubs.
I saw 4 today, actually, outside of Bamboo Detroit when I was like leaving work and coming up here. There were 4 with 4 different colors. People were just screaming like crazy. There's like a special pedal pub scream.
It turns everyone into woo girls.
Woo. I know.
Pedal pubs turn people into woo girls.
I'm a grown man, I would say
you know what that translates to in girl speak? Look at me. 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 Look. 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 Look.
Mama.
Mama. Mama. Mama. Mom. It's like my 3-year-old yelling, Mama, look, woo, look at me, woo, look at me, woo, look at me.
See, I always have my own personal version of a pedal pub. It's called a bicycle with a cup holder that's got the little thing that holds
my Schwinn with a basket that has my gin, my tonic, and my to-go
cup. The problem
cup.
Is you need a hand free for selfies.
I don't need a selfie.
No, well, no, you mount the selfie stick to the front of your Schwinn.
Oh.
Or that it's like jousting. Then you joust with your selfie
then
stick.
Then you Facebook Live yourself.
Hey, I'm guilty of that. I Facebook Live the slow roll, and I want to say that it got more views than your rant.
Turn his mic off. It did not get
it
more
did.
Views.
It did.
No, I goes up to like 4,000.
Painful.
Is it pedal pumps to me is like camping. It makes no sense.
Ooh.
Should I cue this up?
Yes, I think you should.
All right. No, hold on.
Where do I have? Let's go right there.
Time for Bobby Soprano.
I don't think you guys
so I just got back from Cedar Point, and I get this. So what we did is we rented a lakefront cottage, and we ate out, and we went to the park, because that's what you do when you go on vacation.
Right.
But, like, in Cedar Point, you can pull up your $250,000 camper. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to drive my $250,000 camper and park on the grass next to my cottage. Then I'm going to unpack not one, not two, but three canopies and all my lawn chairs and an inflatable eagle and a campfire and bring all my food from home.
Wait, an inflatable campfire?
Inflatable Sam the Eagle.
Okay.
And then set up my campfire, and I'm going to bring all my food from home. And I'm going to sit in a lawn chair in a circle around the campfire and cooking these hot dogs. You don't eat better than hot dogs and s'mores. Like, and you don't eat, and you drink your can of beer, and I don't know what else you do, and you sleep in the camper. And that's not even the half of it. The ones at tents. So now you're packing up all your food, and then you're sleeping on the floor.
So you're taking all your stuff from home.
Yes.
Putting it into a vehicle.
Right.
Moving it to another location.
Right.
And then doing the exact same things you would do at home.
Right.
But suckier.
But somewhere else. Right? Like, but you don't have access to, like, anything else. So, like, you're stuck with the food you brought. So if you want something... Oh, you forgot the cheese. You don't get cheese. Right? Oh, I forgot, like, wine. You don't get wine. You don't get anything. You're stuck.
You're also severely downgrading your neighbors, aren't you?
Who?
When you go camping.
Yeah, how are you feeling in your cabaña? Next to the Merca trailer.
I felt amazing. So I got maid service, and I ate at restaurants that brought me food.
And then, actually, so let's do the math. So you figure the cost of the trailer.
They're not cheap. You ever go to RV centers?
The cost of the food.
Those things are expensive as shit.
And so are you really saving money by going that route?
It's not even... No, it's a worse experience. Like, I'll errand... Like, we're contemplating buying a lakefront cottage. Like, and I'll get an Airbnb. Airbnb, and I don't have to mow the grass.
Airbnb?
Airbnb.
Well, it's in the woods, so it's a Airbnb.
Airbnb.
it's a Berenstain bee.
But now I get to rent a place for $100 a night, and I don't have to cut the grass.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Show up.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Right.
Bail.
Right.
And you don't have to drive home hating each other in the camper.
No.
After spending all weekend together.
Right.
And still bitter about you forgot the wine.
Seriously.
And inflatable mattresses do not stay inflated all night. I'll just leave that right there.
Hey, don't tell that to the Sleep Number people. That's their entire business model.
I switched one of those camp pads, like the 2-inch self-inflating.
Oh, yeah?
My entire game changed completely.
Really? Is that the winner? Not the full thing, but the 2-inch inflate? Oh, really?
Oh, it's so good.
Does it last all night long?
Well, answer me this, though. Let's say I want to drive the country. Now I got this $250,000 tenement on wheels that gets 2.5 miles per gallon. So why don't I just get in my Volkswagen that gets 50, and then I can stay at a goddamn $1,000 a night hotel and spend the same amount of money he spent on gas.
Or hop on a plane.
Or hop on a plane.
And get there quicker.
Did you ever fill up a boat tank? Kiss my ass. That's like a $1,000 bill to fill up a boat tank. I'll just be friends with the guy that has a boat, and I'll bring over two steaks and a case of Labatt, and we're even.
I love how that we're having a debate about which kind of privilege is better.
Only at Podcast Detroit.
Right. Yeah, no, dude, you know my shtick. I don't camp. I don't believe in camping. I don't think it should be a thing. if I'm going to rough it, I'm going to not stay on the concierge level.
No, hold on. You don't rough it, though, because you still get Wi-Fi and you still have a running toilet.
But
so if you're going to rough it, So you're going to inconvenience your sleep and you're going to convenience your poop. And your Wi-Fi, you're going to go all out. You go sit up on a tree, mister. You don't get to go to a running toilet.
So what about my style of camping, like for Burning Man? You know, I'm out there having experiences. You guys hate camping that much? Like when you're going to a festival or something, would that be an okay camp? Or is that different?
I would find the nearest 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
And stay there and Uber. Then day trip.
Yeah.
And then take an Uber. Or find some hippies in the bar downstairs and ride with them.
Effing hippies.
Over.
There's no – a wheelbarrow, a jar of ether, and a roll of duct tape couldn't get me to sleep in a tent. I don't care if it was
– this is a challenge. I'm in.
I don't care.
Let's do this.
I've got a wheelbarrow and duct tape.
And I've got a 30-pack of PBR. No, hold on. I can do this.
I don't care if Van Halen with David Lee Roth, you two, The Prodigy, and like Daft Punk – and like REM and like let's go down this and Motley Crue, and I was on stage singing with all of them, and if I had to sleep in a tent I wouldn't go, like, flat out.
Does that mean you're smart or that you're a baby?
I'm totally a baby, and I freely admit it.
First world problems. It's where we are in life.
Sleep on the floor, but no, I'm not I had to sleep on a cot, or not a cot, it was like a futon in our little cottage, and I cried. Like,
you've written a scathing 1-star Yelp review.
I totally did. The cot was not up to my. It was not a heavenly bed from the Hilton.
Did you create a Yelp location for the cot of your friend?
No.
And then leave angry reviews and come back over and over again.
All right. Well, hey, we're gonna wrap things up this 4th of July episode.
And obviously, all things Jer are at DailyDetroit.com.
If you didn't know that, you haven't listened to the show, but that's all right. Hey, but thank you for listening to episode 203 of the IT and the D Show. Wish you all a very, very happy 4th of July. I'd like to thank Jennifer Crawford and Carol for not saying anything, for hanging out. AllThingsDetroit.com. Thank you to Jeremiah, and thank you to our sponsors, Taylor Brands and HelloFresh. Appreciate. Keeping the lights on for us. And on behalf of Bob, Dave, and Nuri, have a safe and happy 4th with your family, and do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Made the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the camp.
Spare me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city.
I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.